Kitty.
Hi, Vance.
Hi, Hannah. How are you?
I'm back.
Good to hear your voice. Just in time. I just started the recording.
Excellent.
So that's Hannah Khamis. I'm Vance Stevens. I'm in Penang, Malaysia. Hannah is in Cairo, I guess. Cairo, Egypt.
So I'm from Alexandria, Egypt today.
Alexandria. Ah, I know that place. That's a nice place. I like Alexandria. Anyway, yeah, okay. And Sue is from Australia, and she's just here helping us. She's our backup moderator, and Jake has just joined us. Rachel has just joined us. I like to be interactive. If either of you would, well, I don't know if you can take the mic. We could try. Do you want to take the mic? This is probably a no-no. Let's see. I'll turn your audio permission on. If you'd just like to say hi, Jake, you can do that. To know how to do it, tell us where you're from. Okay, try with Rachel. I always give people... Not it. Chat for a minute. What did he give? Audio permission on. Rachel has audio permission. Jake has audio permission. I'll leave it that way for a minute. So if you're the only people here, it shouldn't be a problem. If you want to ask us a question, just stop. This is all about highlighting the participatory culture of continuous professional development through self-sustained professional learning networks, such as GEC. And Hannah has just asked in the text chat where Jake and Rachel are. You can either speak to us by hitting the talk button, or you can put your answer in the text chat. We're coming to a Where Are You in the World slide in a minute, but I've introduced ourselves. This is the Global Education Conference. Today is the 20th of November, 2019, and this is actually Learning Together, episode 429. 429 episodes of Learning Together. That's learningtogether.net. You'll learn more about that in a little bit. So let me just move ahead here. Yes, I started the recording. Thank you. And thank you to our partners. Here are all our partners. We'll give you a moment to absorb that slide. Okay, going once, twice, on we go. And here's where you tell us where you are in the world. Yes, let's see. There was, I thought, a little thing that told you how to do that. But anyway, you click on the second icon down. It says Point Items of Interest. You choose an icon, and you position your icon where you want to point to. Can anybody else do that? And I see, Sue has already put herself down in Tasmania, somewhere down there in that area, and Hannah in Egypt. Shall I do yours, Hannah? I'll point to Alexandria. Okay, missed it. Okay, anyway, sorry, I got it over in Algeria somewhere. Okay, Jake, Rachel? Oh, good. Hannah put herself in Alexandria much better than I did. Okay, so anyway, Sue is in Wellington, New Zealand. No, someone else is. Who is that? I don't see who. How do we attach the star to the map? You get yourself a star, and then you move over to the map, and you click on the map, and it attaches the star to the map. So that's great. We have somebody from Australia, someone from New Zealand, and that's all I saw there. Let me just move my text chat where I can see it a bit better. Okay. Moving windows around. All right. So now I'm going to move on. And now, would you like to say anything as we go here? Do you want to say?
Well,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. That it's a pleasure to be with that group from all over the world, and hope they would enjoy our session here. How we have managed to create a participatory kind of culture across Egypt and the rest of the world, where you are advanced at the moment and where you were before when you were in UAE and now in Malaysia.
Okay. So anyway, I'm going to move ahead in the slides and see what we see. We said, well, where are you in the world are you? You want to try that again, Jake or Rachel? Rachel's off the map, so she must be in maybe Hawaii. Okay. That's how you do it. Okay, let's continue on ahead. Okay, now then, oh, let me put in the text chat, let me give you a link to our slides. So I'm going to get the share link here. I'm going to put it in the text chat, and you'll be able to go and open our slides there. Let me get back to the text chat again. Okay, so, all right. That link I just put in the chat, if you go there, all the links that you see here will be highlighted. So, for example, if you click on Learning Together Episode 429, if you click under there, you'll come out to a better description of the chat you're in. Okay, so, well, let me tell you before I start talking about participatory culture, we're highlighting the participatory culture of continuous professional development. What I'm going to talk about, I'm going to give you some examples of some communities of practice that I have been involved in for some time. I'm going to let you have a look at that slide if you want. If you open the slideshow, you would find the link there to the Wikipedia article on participatory culture, or you can always go back and get them later. But anyway, I've been a moderator of communities of practice since about 1997, I guess, was my first one, and that morphed into something called WebEd in Action, which I'm going to tell you a little bit more about. I mentioned that this is a Learning Together episode. That's another community of practice where I started to work with Hannah. And we're going to have a look at our the communities in a moment. I'll pause at that slide. But anyway, basically, a participatory culture is as distinct from a consumer culture. So it's a culture whereby people create, people make things, add content to the internet, and especially they do that in order to learn. So a participatory culture, when I think of that, I think that the people are all participating in toward their learning. Hannah, you brought this up. Would you like to say something about this slide?
Of course. Well, it's great. About the idea here that we're all, so much interested in becoming better professionals. However, once we're stuck with a full-time job, it becomes real challenging. We have always experienced the idea here of, I don't have enough time. And especially those who are very passionate about their own professional development and are so keen on having, creative ideas and this and that, those people suffer the most. And they are in this dilemma that I just, summarized in this comic I came across yesterday. Yeah, I've always had the same problem here. Sanity or, being well informed. That's the paradox. That's the question. Sometimes it gets to you and you need to get some rest. It becomes really crazy when you're seeking professional development, but you don't really have time because of other chores. Being a teacher is not just about going and teaching or maybe a little bit of follow-up. It's about 24/7.
Okay. Hannah, would you like to continue?
I'm back. There was that pause. So once again, yeah, it does affect our, you know, sanity and brains and, you know, other plans. It's like personal life. How can we strike a balance between professional and personal life when we also have, you know, extra chores and burdens? How to become better in our practice? You know, if we just first try to define the term CPD, we come across it often. What is CPD? It's just like, you know, training is training, but what is it about CPD? How can I have continuous professional development? I was wondering, and I came across this definition. It's not about just one time or a one-off occasion. It seems to be like a lifelong process, and it seems like it's not just about, you know, professional practices. It's about how, as an educator, I manage to sort of spot or identify places and people who can help me become better professionally developed. And it's a lifelong plan. It's a lifelong process. And it does not necessarily require me to sign up for training events, workshops, etc., or maybe go to conferences. This is a big part of it. But another part of it is how you can save energy and maybe connect with other, you know, networks, people, places that can help you, you know, become better developed all over. You know, or over your lifetime without necessarily going to workshops or conferences. You can do that by reading, by creating, you know, conversations with professionals. I guess that's my conception of it. Ben?
Yeah, absolutely. And these are some of the places that we hang out right now. As you mentioned, the PLN or Personal Learning Network is something that you engage in with other people, and those networks tend to overlap. There are three of them that I'm particularly active in, Electronic Village Online, Webheads in Action, and Learning Together. And there are some links there if you want to find out more about them. And if you get the link, if you get the I don't know, if you got the has anybody got the slideshow up from Google Docs? Because those links are all hot. So that is their hyper. So there's a link there that says click here to see what I actually wrote all this out. I always do this with my presentations. I write them out, and then I create the slideshow from that, and then I link to what I wrote. And so anyway, that's basically everything I would intend to say is written down in that document, so you can read it there. In fact, I blog Learning Together. Learning Together is a podcast I started in 2010. And if you go there, you can see all the other 428 sessions archived, and this one will be number 429. So what I say in writing will go in that blog post. So. Now, I'd like to ask Hana, because Hana has been engaging with me in Learning Together. I met her at a TESOL conference recently in the United States. We both headed over there. And also, Hana, you are a participant in the WebHeads in Action Groups I.O. I saw that you transferred over there, so you've been in WebHeads. And EVO, are you? Do you moderate sessions in EVO?
Not yet. That's a dream that, okay, is not yet come true. I would love to be there one day, but just I'm preparing myself. I just before joining that vibrant group of moderators.
I'll flip ahead one slide, then I'll come back to that one and catch your networks. But this is Electronic Village Online. It's at evosessions.pbworks.com. It's a community of practice that was established in 2001. I got involved with it in 2007. I've been a coordinator of it since 2003. So it's been going on every year. What it is it's a group of teachers who put on sessions for one another, and they do 5-week sessions at the in January and February, 5 weeks in January and February. Every year, we're on our 18th year now. So if you go to evosessions.pbworks.com, you'll see how you can join free, very high-quality sessions, because we have a way of vetting proposals and then training, or actually we call it professional development now, training the moderators, making sure that the sessions are very good. And so anyway, it's something that you can participate in for free. And if you have any questions about any of this, just ask us. I think your mics are on, and you can put notes in the text chat. So let me go back to Hannah. So I've known her from, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, go ahead. You talk.
Okay, so once again, yeah, the first time I started to hear about learning technologies and this and that, it was in 1999. At that moment, I started becoming passionate about training. And I sought anything that was available online. The first group that I came across was Webheads in Action. I found them a very friendly, community of professionals. They would just, they would spare no efforts to teach you, freely whatever you need to know. I remember, being stuck with things online, especially when it's an online event or maybe a conference, and people would be out there to just jump in and help me without me just hitting walls and so on. The first time I thought I should really attend a full conference was back in 2010, which was like an online conference, WIA, I think that's what they called it, BAMS, WIA, Webheads in Action.
Webheads in Action Online Convergence.
Online Convergence, and that was
that would be 2009.
I think I joined you a year later. I didn't attend in 2009.
While you're talking, I'll put up some slides that show some of these things.
Of course.
Webheads in Action. Yeah.
Yes.
And you can reach it by webheads.info, and all those links at the top are at the top of the page are hot. You can find out about Webheads in Action Online Convergence at those places.
That's an amazing collection here of, the history of Webheads in Action and how it left its impact on, the world. People from all over the world literally participated from different continents, different time zones. I remember I reserved, a room at the American University in Cairo library, and I just attended over 3 days of sessions. All right, it was mad. It was really crazy. It was a lot of fun. they had so many platforms. They had so many platforms, and I kept jumping from one to the other, learning things I've never tried before. And it was 24/7, literally. People would wake up,
For
and take
days.
Over. Yeah, would wake up and take over.
72 hours.
Yes. That was real, mind-blowing. Uh-huh. But that taught me a lesson, really, on collaboration and personal learning networks and, how you can dedicate yourself for the development of other teachers and be generous with time and all that. That was real something, I remember. Would you like to tell us a little bit more, Vance?
Well, yeah, that's really nice to hear your perspective on that. I've never heard that story, but this is the keynote speakers we had in the 2007, the second Webheads in Action Online Convergence. And you might recognize some names. Stephen Downs is quite famous, George Siemens, who started our idea on connectivism. Etienne Wenger was there. He's a known for writing about communities in practice, Lavin Wenger about communities in practice. Stephen Downs and George Siemens, by the way, started the first MOOC in 2008. So they were about to do that in 2007. The first MOOC was CCK 2008. CCK stands for Connectivism and Connectivist Knowledge. And so we had three top people on connectivism about to start off the whole movement on MOOCs in that conference, and also Etienne, who actually was he was brought in by a PhD student who was with us at the time, and he was interviewed, and he said, Etienne kind of wrote the definitive book about communities of practice. You could say whether, if you are a community of practice, according to his book, it would define a community of practice. And so Chris Johnson, the guy who was his PhD student, in his dissertation, he found that we filled all the criteria except for one, and that is the limitations of space. As Hana mentioned, we were moving around from platform to platform, just trying everything out. And that was one of the criteria of, to be a community of practice. You should be in a centralized space. And so I asked Etienne if he had, having experienced us, if he had revised his theory. And he said, yes. He says, I've begun to see that a community of practice can actually go out into more spaces than I had imagined before. So I was quite gratified at that. And I'll just, I'm going to back up a little bit if I can find the right button. So I'm going to tell you, I'll tell you a little bit about WebHeads in Action. We're talking about them now. WebHeads in Action, and by the way, if you Google WebHeads, you come up on a lot of Spider-Man sites, you know. So I called it WebHeads in Action. But webheads.info is where you can go to get a portal that's all about WebHeads. Oh, by the way, so I can put on my video here. Yeah, why not? I forgot about that. You know, there's something important about web presence. You should establish it right at the beginning. So I really should have turned this on right at the beginning. And then after that, you have the impression of who I am and the talking head. And then you don't really need it after that. But basically, this portal will take you to WebHeads in Action Online Convergence. It will take you to articles. I can't scroll down here, but if you go to it yourself, you can scroll down and you can find that there's a lot been written about WebHeads in Action, including an encyclopedia entry, which I wrote for the I don't remember the name off the top of my head, but they it's an encyclopedia of many volumes, about 20 to 30 volumes, but WebHeads is one of the entries. It's about language teaching. So anyhow, WebHeads got started in 1998, and it was 1998 was just when Web 2 was just starting to come on. We were really in Web 1 back then, and I created a Web 1 portal and got people to contribute pictures and things like that, that I just kind of put their content online myself. And we formed a group, a group that met through various computer-mediated communications tools. Voice tools were starting to come online about then. We used avatar spaces where we could go and meet. We met regularly. The students would send me writings about their stories. We got to know each other quite well. We used voice plugins, and we talked to one another, and so it was very wild stuff back then. But eventually, English teachers started coming more and more into the group. And by 2002, I was asked to put on an EVO session. And I created also a portal that looked like that one, but it was for English teachers. And that portal, that gallery, the faces of people who are in WebHeads in Action, sort of found itself in various places. Here it is in Second Life. So that was leading us into the WebHeads in Action Online Convergence, which is what we were talking about. As we said, this WebEd is an Action Online Convergence. It took place in 3 years. It was 72-hour intensive. We could not possibly do it 1 year after the next. You did a year to break and then start organizing the next one. This went on through 2009, 2005, 2007, 2009, and Anna said she learned something from it. I learned one thing. I learned never to do it again. In 2009, I was burned out on it, and I asked in the community if there was anybody else who'd like to take it on, and they said, nobody said anything. It's kind of like doing a voice check and collaborate. Anyhow, I said, okay, fine. I'm going to change the model. So I went into something I called Learning Together. I started this in 2010. So if you do the math, you'll find that in 72 hours, not all those hours are taken by presentations, but we get probably 50 or more presentations. The people are, like Hannah said, the people were just going all night long somewhere. You could go sleep if you wanted. Me, since I'm organizing the thing, I really couldn't get much sleep in 3 days. But I decided I'm going to do this 1 week at a time. So I decided to start a podcast, and Learning Together has a portal, learningtogether.net. And there's also a wiki. It's kind of set up so that people can crowdsource their own presentations. Lately, it's attracted Hannah, and I'll get her to talk a little bit more maybe about how she uses Learning Together. But if you get the slideshow from the link that I put in the text chat, you can go to this slide and you can find the links that show you our wiki portal and our archives. It's very important. 428 archives already. You can click on those, on one of those archives that will take you to this WordPress blog that you see here, and it will take you to one of those. Each one is recorded in some way. Usually it's a video. Anyhow, welcome Stephanie, who's just joined us. You can introduce yourself in the text chat if you like. So back over to Hannah. Now this is something that I want to learn from Hannah. I want to learn, these are her communities that she is interacting very heavily in while I was working in EVO, WebEd and Action Learning Together, doing these things. Hannah joined me. She, you tell me, Hannah, how did you decide to, how did we get connected in Learning Together?
Okay, let me tell you about this. Now I've been observing, and lurking. That's the term they use, to lurk. Lurk is you participate, but you do not talk about it. You do not participate using your voice. So I did that for some time, and then I decided to be an active webhead. And then, slowly but surely, I joined Vance's, it's called multi-literacy session. I remember that Vance, in one of those years, like 2000 and something, it's like early 2000s, when you did the multi-literacies kind of workshop. It's EVO, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember that one was one of those crazy sessions as well, because the number of tools were mind-blowing again. People could hardly cope. We started with, and there were things that we do, like Twitter, at the same time use other tools to tag. I remember visual tagging. And you do participate on threaded discussions. Not only that, but there were some...
Uh-oh. Oh, you're back.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
So I remember doing all those assignments, communicating with friends and colleagues synchronously and asynchronously. I mean, it was a lot to learn, and not everyone lasted till the end of it, but I did. I'm glad. All right, and then later on, I started learning things about how to create a network. and, you know, they call it a personal learning network. I did it very informally. I suffered a little when people did not really welcome work off, I mean, over the internet, virtual, you know, connections only. From where I come from, people prefer face-to-face training sessions and appreciate them more than virtual sessions. But I did not give up, really. So I started learning some tips and tricks from webheads, from learning together, and started applying things my way in my own context. Luckily, okay, things started to work. We have a web, I mean, we have an association called Nye TESOL that is an affiliate of TESOL International. So I was invited by my friend and colleague, Ayat Al-Tawil, who happens to be an EBO coordinator and moderator. I was invited to start a learning technology special, write up a proposal and see how it goes. We did write a proposal and we officially launched 2016. We started by face-to-face events mostly. In addition to, you know, one or two virtual events with fellow EVO moderators, master moderators, and so on and so forth. It was very kind of Vance to check in on us because he knows us as webheads, and he's very supportive normally of webheads all over the world, no matter what. He kindly attended our sessions, provided words of support. I was too shy to ask him for further help because I was like, you know, whatever events we do virtually don't have enough recognition or experience technical problems like what you're seeing now. I cannot get my video up because of Blackboard Collaborate, you know, tech kind of stuff. It seems like too heavy for my connection. I won't be the only one who cannot, you know, log to things like, you know, Blackboard Collaborate because of bad internet or, you know.
Okay. I guess I know.
I'm back again. I'm sorry.
Good,
you can
good,
see.
Hannah.
You can.
Yes. Okay, well, actually, what you're describing, I really admire.
So, back to the story.
Okay. Because you're in Egypt, and it's hard. I mean, people work very hard there. Teachers work very hard. I used to ride with taxi drivers who talk to them a little bit, and they might be working. They're driving taxis at night. They work at the post office in the day, and the afternoons they teach, you know, so they've got three jobs. It's tough, you know, to do professional development in Egypt. But it's remarkable the way people do it. Any comment? Am I coming across? Am I audible myself? Thank you, Stephanie. Okay. Well, that's okay. I'm going to do,
As a matter of fact, they try. They try hard. And we've always had a problem. Yeah? Yeah? Can you hear me? Hello?
Sorry, I muted my mic. Okay. Go ahead. I hear you. We hear you. Well, actually, we're kind of talking about the challenges. She's talking about one of the challenges to maintaining a culture of continuous professional development. Lack of resources, overworked teachers. I don't know if people can probably put the challenges that they've had. Why don't you put your challenges in the text chat? Because I'm going to talk about another kind of challenge, because I'm kind of keeping my eye on the time. So does anybody have any comments they'd like to share with us about challenges that you find to continuous professional development? Getting everyone on the same page is a challenge. Maybe I'll turn off my video to help Hanaz's bandwidth. Okay, that might help. She's back. Okay.
Okay. I would like to tell you the story before I break up again.
About because I've got an example of how our WebHits community has overcome this particular challenge. Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead. Is that a request for the slide on polls? Sorry, let me just see if I can find the slide on polls. Here we go, polls. It's not jumping there. I think I'm going to continue where I was because, and it's just not jumping. Did I double click? I double click. Okay. So we're talking about challenges of maintaining a culture of continuous professional development. Now, in the last, well, it's not really the first time, actually, but the last couple of years, we've lost two very important communities of practice, or communities, just communities. One is Google Plus communities. I don't know if any of you were using Google Plus communities. Did anybody lose one? Meanwhile, while I'm waiting for a response to that, Jake says, caliber of staff, schools professional directions versus personal directions, time and access to quality CPD material. Well, that's actually what we're talking about. Access to quality CPD material is all over the internet. We've been talking about that in this presentation. But one of the communities that I've been doing in particular is EVO Minecraft MOOC. That's my latest, and I talked about the one I did in multiple literacies for about 10 years, actually. WebHits has kind of gone on and on since 2002, but I haven't really done anything about WebHits, although some of the WebHits, some people in the course, for 10 years, they ran EVO sessions called Becoming a WebHit. So it just goes to show you how some of these communities of practice can really sustain. But EVO Minecraft MOOC was basing itself on a Google Plus community. And then last year, about 1 year ago now, Google told us they were just not going to support communities anymore. So some of us we had to get our data out, you know, in a time-challenged fashion. And these two blogs were the result of extracting our data from Google Plus communities and putting them into blogs. The result, really, if you go to the blogs yourself, and you can go to the blogs yourself, because when I get a moment here, I'll put the link to this slideshow back in the text chat, so you can actually go to this slideshow online and you can find exactly what you're seeing here but with working links. So that happened through the EVO Minecraft MOOC community last year. It's a place that we go in another EVO session where we try to learn about Minecraft, how important that is for learning and for developing participatory cultures around learning, because there's quite a lot video YouTube videos that teach people about Minecraft, but language learners tend to create their own videos and share with other people what they're learning. But this year we had a more critical loss. We lost, or we're about to lose, Yahoo Groups. Are you aware of that? Or do you use Yahoo Groups at all? Yes? Someone's coming back. That's Hannah. Yeah, so we have our WebHits in Action was based in a Yahoo group since 2002. So we've Yahoo Groups has two aspects. One is there's a listserv aspect. You can email each other. That's actually going to remain. But what you're losing on December 14th of this year is all your user-generated content, all the participatory stuff, the stuff that people have been sticking up there in the case of WebBits for the last 18 years. So we had to move it. So we moved it, not for free, but we moved it into Groups.io, which was also taking Google communities, Google Groups, and moving data over there. So they've been kind of getting other people's groups together in their spaces. So they have responded to the Yahoo Group crisis, and they've regenerated our group, rejuvenated our group at Groups.io. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that. Because last year, I was giving some plenaries and things like that, conference presentations about thinking small, that is social media-assisted language learning as opposed to computer-assisted language learning, which is what most of my colleagues are into, because we're language teachers mainly. So I was trying to show people how the computers are, it's not really computer assisted, it's what computers do. And what computers do is they put people together socially. So they're very good at that. So I just suggested there's an alternative acronym for it, SMALL. And in the slideshow was an example from somebody in WebHeads in Action in the Yahoo group who posted to the group, she said, "Dear friends, I've recently learned somewhere about sites with free images," and she can't find them. And she just wanted to know, does anybody, you know, this is a community that's been going on for 16 years. You would think it would sort of stop. In fact, actually, if you track if you go to Groups.io, you find that there's it actually takes the Yahoo data and it puts it in a chart on front of that site, and it shows you how many messages there were over the years. There have been 30,000 messages over the last 16, 18 years. But lately, they've tapered off. So I was surprised when in March of 2019, just recently, she asked this WebHeads a question, and all of a sudden the group kind of came alive and started answering her questions. In 6 days, she got 8 replies. And actually, if you go to the slides, which I should probably try to find that link, let me do that, I can get right now. I'll put that link. These are where you can get the slides. If you're interested in following these links, here's where they are. So you open that and you'll see this live slideshow and you can get the links. So the first link is in March of 2019, her chat where she got all these 8 replies existed at that Yahoo Group's link. I have added since then, because we moved our Yahoo Group over to WebEds in Action at Groups.io, now we have those links, that link is replicated, that is replicated over there at Groups.io. Now that's actually important. In conjunction with one of the papers I presented this at, I published in the Proceeds, and I actually wrote about Anasora in the Proceeds, and I noticed she was a teacher in Romania, and she's basically, this is the start about my paper, Thinking Small About Social Media, and here's its link. If you want to read it online, you can. But I wrote that about her, and then when she came back to write this post, she in the new group, she posted this. So this is in the new WebHeads in Action group. We started to get people, because we did the transfer, the group is kind of coming to life. It's like a phoenix. It's ruffling its feathers. Yahoo Groups was going to cut it off. Then we resurrected it over at WebHeads in Action at Groups.io. And Anasora puts in another question. So she wanted to know about how she can collect speaking input and you know, have students record and so she can use this. So again, she put out something in this new group, and then all these people start responding there because we didn't even know they were there. You know, they got moved there, but we didn't really know exactly where they were. So let's see. Well, we found out from Anna Sora when I told her, well, you know, by the way, I wrote about you, and she said, oh, I was unaware of that. I didn't know you were using me. And she said, you know, I've written about WebEd in Action, and here it is. She actually sent us a PDF of the entire book of proceeds, where, I don't know if it's the proceeds, but anyways, in Romanian. A lot of them were in Romanian language, but hers is in English. And she sent us the whole book, the whole PDF of the whole book. And so I just printed the first four pages, which are the title page and the table of contents, and then the pages where her article is on, just in using Windows print to PDF. I made her a PDF, and I said, here's your article, just your article, not the whole book. And I said, well, you should upload it to ResearchGate. And so she did. And a day later, she uploads it. There it is. So this is an illustration of people, teachers, learning together in these groups. That's really about what I have to say. We have a few slides that Hannah has. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about the next couple of slides. Does anybody have any questions, by the way? Abel, yes. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Hannah. Are you with us? Rachel, did something just? You got a hand up? Is this Rachel or is it Hannah? I think it's Hannah. Okay. I'm trying to interpret my control panel here. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Sorry, I muted myself.
I'm in it.
We hear you.
Okay. I'm back. Okay. All right. Oh, yeah. So back to the way we've learned here how to create a personal learning network, whether online or offline, like face-to-face. Online, well, there are several tools that I've, hello? Yeah. So, yes, thank you. So I've learned how to work with wikis, and the nice thing about learning together and WebEd in Action is there is actually a wiki on PBWorks. The nice thing is, as a community, we are given the chance to collaborate, to give, we can even edit, the pages. Add contributions, add events that occur on our side of the world. So this is one way of collaboration indeed. Not only this, I've learned things about Weebly. Weebly is another beautiful website. I started working with it, first of all, as a portfolio to collect all my, achievements and activities here and there. But I found another feature here of collaboration and creating groups as well. One of my friends here alerted me to that use. No matter what here, there are other tools out there, but we try to select the most accessible to our fellow colleagues and ourselves, of course. So it happens that, for example, what works best in my context is Facebook. Interestingly, not everyone around the world prefers the use of Facebook for professional purposes. seems like it works really well in at our side of the world, in Egypt. So I've started creating several groups, groups for students, groups for fellow teachers. We got our Facebook Facebook page for 90 Sol, in addition to several closed / open groups for our several special interest groups. I started working on, learning technology special interest group with my fellow colleague Ayet in 2016. Ever since, it's really grown so much and in an impressive way. We started using that for like announcing events, face-to-face events, virtual sessions, some polls. Here and there, presentations, curating links, lesson plans, etc. And it's been booming ever since. I would just recommend it for if you have a similar situation here, a social media platform like Facebook or Facebook, you can really benefit a lot from that. And the nice thing, the interaction is so instant. You really get a feel for your members. So keep that in mind. I also use WhatsApp groups. This is a different context. If you're working with smaller groups, at work, you can easily create your own Facebook group with their phone numbers.
And dropped off again,
the speed of work and sharing is amazing, right? I used to depend only on email, but ever since I started, the WhatsApp group, the speed of communication has become really phenomenal. So especially that WhatsApp connects well. Especially, Vance. Especially that WhatsApp works very well with other applications. The sharing speed with everything, with Facebook, with Messenger, with other things like Drive or Dropbox or this or that is amazing. So that's okay in mind. I started to use Facebook more actively, especially the voice notes feature.
Abir was first.
This here minimizes miscommunication. You send a voice note to the group, plus you share whatever you want visually
or
in the form of slides.
If you like working, you can always write in the text chat. And Jake,
now we have Facebook,
next,
WhatsApp, and Weebly, in addition to
pop
Wiki,
in if Abir is having
the
any
Google,
problem.
Apps, Drive, with all its features, Docs, Slides, and Forms.
We have
hands up here,
about 5 minutes left in our hour.
We can have
there's one more slide. Did you want to scroll over to it?
Join us.
Oh, two more slides. Two more slides. I don't know if we're allowed to go over.
The polling.
Okay.
I promised to be very short and to the point. Now I thought maybe I can, check with my colleagues on Facebook here, their perceptions about professional development. And there we go. So I asked.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to fill in for Hana here. These obviously are polls in Facebook, which if you follow
back.
Her Facebook pages,
so
you'll find these
polls
often.
Asked,
and
you know,
this one obviously asks
about
your perceptions
here,
on
about
training.
Frequency,
I'm going to flip over to the next slide. There are actually two more.
Professional
this is the last
or,
one. And let me show you the very last one, which is our references. There's two references that Hana used. And then I mentioned that I have a write-up. If you go to the slideshow here, you can find all these links live, so you can read the part of the talk that I wrote up beforehand. And you can find these slides, and they all link back to one another. And by the way, we'll continue to update these. Now that we've given the presentation, we've thought of other things. We'll add information to these slides. So that's all online. I'm going to see if I can catch up Hana. Anybody else have questions? We're looking at the text chat, and we're getting dings, and the people are putting hands up. I'm going to put the link to our slides. Just make sure you have it. Hana, any last words?
Well, last words, that's okay. There are several challenges, and I'm just demonstrating one of those challenges here, but still it would not stop me for being part of events, especially free events like the one we're having now, a Global Education Conference. Now, if you would like to check how far you are competent or literate about continuous professional development, you may want to ask yourself these questions. And a simple yes or no would do. Number one is about training and your perception here of it. Training involves personal sacrifice. Yes or no? And if yes, how much sacrifice you're willing to provide? How much can you sacrifice out of your personal time, money, maybe other things like family, this, that, sleep, all these things. How much are you willing to sacrifice in order to become more professionally developed? A second point would be whether you're willing to spend too much time when you have workshops. It does really require excessive amount of hours. Yeah, we can, have short workshops, but, still to be truly and genuinely developed, you will need to dedicate intensive hours of work and professional development. The third is about the presentation of your fellow colleagues, trainers and trainees. Trainees, do their presentations inspire you in any way? If you stop watching, presentations altogether or workshop style, would that, affect you positively or negatively here? Do we stop getting inspired or shall we just be self-inspired?
We're about out of time. I don't know if we actually have to cut off the session. Normally,
does it change,
the Learning Together sessions go on and on
growth?
Because
yes
you're
or no.
really
and
not
lastly,
in
lastly, it's about
anywhere,
teaching and learning.
Anyhow,
so it's a reciprocal kind of process.
Desire possibly to go to their sessions. We're right on the top of the hour
here,
right now.
Provide
this has been
the
Learning Together episode 429, and also
yes
it's the
no. I wish we
Global
could have
Education
that
Conference
as a poll where we raise hands,
November
but I'm not sure
20th,
if we can
2019.
Do that.
And we've
Your
been
turn.
Vance Stevens and Hannah Hamis, and we've been talking about highlighting participatory culture of continuous professional development through self-sustaining professional learning networks. And thank you very much, everybody, for coming. We really appreciate you taking part. Thank you very much. Oh, thank you for thank you. Okay, I guess I had better. Okay, we're going to leave. If Hannah wants you to type your mail, you might want to do that. But the thing is, I need to stop the recording. And we also have to all leave the room in order for the recording to be set. So I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording. Thank you very much. Let me find the, here it is. Okay, bye-bye from me, from Malaysia. Bye-bye.
Bye.